Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. Last time on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke chapter 18 and verses 31 to 43. Our study was titled, Faith for Sight. We noted from our text that faith and sight are inseparably linked together. The first example of this important principle comes from the experience of Jesus' disciples. They were going with Jesus to Jerusalem, where he was about to be crucified. And he is specifically telling them what is going to happen to him. He couldn't have spoken more plainly. And yet, verse 34 says that they understood none of these things. How did they completely miss the obvious truth Jesus was telling them? It was because of unbelief. Luke seems unable to say strongly enough how entirely hidden from them at that time was the sense of these very plain statements. He says they understood none of these things. Jesus' sayings were hidden from them, and they couldn't grasp the meaning of his words. How could this be when he spoke so plainly? They heard with their ears the words that Jesus said, but the truth did not penetrate their hearts. Well, let's continue our study now today. I begin by reading our text, Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43, and I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Did you catch the reason why the 12 missed the clear meaning of Jesus' words in our text? They didn't believe. The message they heard didn't benefit them because it wasn't united with faith in their hearts. I'm sure they appreciated the promises of reward Jesus gave them regarding their forsaking all and following him. But they didn't accept the suffering. And Mark's gospel specifically records Jesus including persecutions in with the promised rewards. So in their minds, they'd created a picture of what Messiah's reign would look like. And because suffering didn't fit the profile of a conquering king and his loyal subjects, they rejected it. They ignored it. They were blind to it. Even though they had the physical sight, their lack of faith made them blind to the truth. The word without faith makes seeing people blind. This text provides examples of how faith and sight are inextricably linked together. Let's look at them. As Jesus and the 12 continue toward Jerusalem, they encounter a blind man by the road, and he is begging. Either he or someone else had the good sense to put him where many people were passing by. And since many of these passers-by were going to Jerusalem for the Passover, they may have been more generous than usual. So it was a good deal for the blind man. Okay, so as he's sitting there, he hears this commotion of the multitude surrounding Jesus as they're coming up the road. So he inquires repeatedly about the source of the noise until someone finally responds to his questions. And he's told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. I believe his response is both amazing and instructive. He shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David? This is a declaration of Jesus as Messiah. Where did this blind man get the idea that Jesus of Nazareth was Messiah? The Gospels tell us often that in response to his miracles, the fame of Jesus spread throughout the land. So the blind man obviously had heard about Jesus, and in simple faith, he believed that the only person who could perform such miracles must be the Messiah. As I said before, what a contrast. The 12 walked with Jesus and heard his teaching. They saw his miracles firsthand. They were there. They heard him speak of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, and yet they didn't believe what he told them. The blind man only knew about what he had heard secondhand from others, yet he believed and acted on that belief. I say, he's a worthy example to be followed. So the part of the crowd walking in front of Jesus basically told this blind man to shut up. Their response reminds me of the 12 earlier in the chapter. You remember when some parents were bringing their children to Jesus for a blessing? "Be quiet. You're nobody. Jesus doesn't have time for you." But look at the blind man's response. Our text says he cried out all the more. The original text uses two different words and verb tenses to describe the blind man's initial cry in verse 38 and then his intensifying cries in verse 39. After the people in the crowd rebuked him, he didn't give up. He redoubled his efforts. The grammar in verse 39 expresses the idea as to scream, to declare in a very loud voice, often indicating a harsh-sounding utterance. So you can almost hear the blind man screeching himself hoarse, crying out again and again, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Persistent faith, like that of the widow in the opening parable of this chapter, is rewarded. So Jesus stops in the middle of the road, and when Jesus stops, the crowd stops. He commands the blind man to be brought to him. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't Jesus go to the blind man? Well, one possible reason is genuine faith is meant to be exercised in community, not in isolation. This man needed help to be guided to the spot where Jesus was standing. Could it be that the very people who had told this man to shut up and sit down were the ones who were tasked with leading him to Jesus? If that's the case, I love the irony in Jesus' command. Now, when the blind man is brought to him, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And in simple faith, the blind man responds, "Lord, let me recover my sight." No doubting, no questioning, no beating around the bush, just a simple statement of belief in Jesus' ability to heal him. Only a few words with the master. But the blind man had confidence in the power of the Son of David to effect lasting change in his life. Now, look at Jesus' response. "Recover your sight. Your faith has saved you." What a beautiful, beautiful statement. Not only did the blind man's faith result in restored eyesight, it also gave him spiritual vision. He was saved from the daily humiliation of sitting by the road begging. And that was a big deal. But an even bigger deal was that he'd been rescued from the humiliation and degradation of sin eternally. His physical blindness was a temporary condition that would have ended with his death. But his spiritual blindness, if left unaddressed, would have led to eternal punishment. Now he could truly see. And what did this formerly blind man do? He followed Jesus. You and I should do no less. And what was it that affected this change? Jesus said to him, "Your faith has saved you." It is always so, my friend. Faith is necessary for sight. A lack of faith results in blindness. The 12 and the blind man had the same information. Well, in fact, the 12 had a whole lot more information than the blind man. Yet they refused to believe what he told them concerning his suffering, death, and resurrection. The blind man had only the reports of others, but what he heard was enough to convince him that Jesus was the Messiah. So, my friend, which of these do you most identify with? The 12 or the blind man? Many of us, myself included, have had the privilege of hearing the Word of God from childhood. But unless that word is mixed with faith, we are still walking in the blindness of sin and unbelief. Jesus calls us to believe what he says and then to prove that belief by our obedience. We must remember that full sight is never possible without genuine faith. So let's follow the example of the blind man and experience faith for sight. My friend, has the Word of God been mixed with faith in your life? Have you, like the blind man, cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me"? Have you received the forgiveness of your sin and the opening of your spiritual sight? If not, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity. Were you blessed by this teaching? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Faith for Sight. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Faith for Sight. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Faith for Sight. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. When you go to their homepage, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel with a message titled Seeing Jesus. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.